everybody. This is your favoritest of mostest hostess. That's Michael Tanner with Dice Media Group. We're here with Luke Barta today and the boss, Cody. Cody Fitzgerald, something like that, right? Is it Cody Fitzgerald?
Cody right? Fitzgerald's. You got. I like the Fitzgerald's. That's a good way to pronounce it.
Yes, I read a book about him in high school. Anyway, they call him Cody Coder Fitzgerald's around the office. These guys are the experts when it comes to East Coast style SEO. But they really specialize in retail. But we're going to talk about how you from your basement. Take a look around. How you from your basement can launch a multi-hundred-dollar empire, at least, right? Something like that. We can talk about it. We're going to do that. Anyway, I am just so excited to be with both of these guys, and let's just get into it. I saw that you are on your book. Your stuff is Omni Digital, right? I mean, how do you guys spell that out? Like.
Omni Digital Group, OMNI Digital Group. It's like omnipresent, being omnipresent in the world.
But not ominous, just Omni, right? This Omni everywhere. And mustaches are the key to success at the company. So if you can't see this, get on the YouTube. Also, while you're there, there's this thing called a like and a subscribe. You hit the subscribe first, then you hit the like, and you win a prize, mostly cash and or prizes. Guess which one you're probably going to get. So anyway, just hang with us. We're going to talk a little bit about ROI and what kind of stuff. So if I, you know, being of not as your intelligence, right, were to start a business, and I said, my God, I am the best whip and buggy maker in the whole town. And now I need to get somebody to notice me, right? So I'm going to go down and take a newspaper ad out, right? Is that what we do now? Or how does Cody handle this problem? I got 20 grand ready to burn, and I've made my first whip for my buggy. What are the things that we're going to talk about to the client? What are things that we would do with that?
Yeah. So really we operate – I mean, from a basic standpoint, we operate on a pretty simple structure. The first thing that we're going to analyze with them is, especially we developed a software that allows us to extract information from their point of sale system and use that in marketing. So we're going to look. Yep, point of sale system.
POS. Do you get them a new POS?
POS.
A piece of shit point of sales.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, we have run into a couple clients where we ran into one client. They weren't even a client. They were a prospective client. We were just calling. They had like 70,000 people in their point of sale system, but they said that there was no way to access it. And I'm like, they don't even understand the gold mine that they're sitting on beside the point. But, you know, I mean, honestly, we definitely can help them, but just not as much because they're. I always say that the best way we can help people is if they have good data, you know, and quality data. And that's basically data as far as like when the customer bought, what their name was, their email, their phone number, data purchase, the revenue amount. If you have good data, you're going to really win in digital advertising. If you only have, say, like the person's mailing address, but you have none of that information, you can definitely send them direct mail and things like that. It's just very expensive. So what we help a client with is look at their data and their point of sale system. How can we use that, whether it's through email marketing, text message marketing, or Facebook and Instagram, the four platforms that we really help people with. And then on top of that, we really help them assess, okay, how can we help you get new customers? And then how can we help you get your existing customers back in? That's kind of our pitch in like a 30-second nutshell when we're talking with people.
So we're going to get new customers, right? And we're going to get people to come back into the swimming pool with all the piranhas.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Venereal disease, whatever. No. Anyway, so we're going to get – so let's say, okay, now, more seriously, most businesses – they're in COVID right now. They are what we're in the suckage zone. And to be honest, they even if they are a restaurant and they're delivering, they're getting 40% of the 90% they weren't making it on. And they say, guys, we need the Hail Mary. What? I sell chicken pops, okay? Cheesy poos. I sell a lot of cheesy poos. What are we going to get them? What is the first thing that you're going to ask? What are some of the things that we ask?
I mean, when we are onboarding a new client, we talk to them about, okay, what are the specific products that you really want to push? If it's cheesy poos, then we'll talk about, okay, who is your ideal customer for that specific product? And we'll create an audience in Facebook that pushes to people that they consider their ideal customer. That way it's relevant to the person. We're not just throwing it out into the world and hoping it sticks. We're actually trying to make it relevant to people who are actually interested and who want to buy that product. And then when we're going after new customers, we actually pull their existing customer base and we exclude it from that campaign. And so then you can run like a, hey, 10% off for your first time in the store type campaign, really to just drive traffic to your website, drive people into the store and get them to purchase. And that way your existing customer base, who we're also targeting with a different campaign at the same time, they won't get that discount because they've already been into the store. It's just another way to get new people to come in.
So actually, if I have a campaign, I want to target different segments of my market. I want to have multiple campaigns. And
yes.
Doesn't that get to be more expensive to do it that way?
Basically, like the way that we structure the campaign is to keep it really simple. Is like on Facebook, you can choose an objective. So do you want them to watch a video? Do you want them to like, comment, share? Do you want them to go to your website? Like whatever you're trying to get them to do, the action that you want them to take. And then within that, the audiences are next. So there's really only three parts to any advertising. It's what do you want them to do? Who are you targeting? And what are you showing them? I don't care if it's Facebook, the paper, you know, whatever it is. So then in that next segment, where we're picking the audiences, at least within Facebook, I'm not sure about Google, but at least within Facebook and Instagram, you choose your budget at the campaign level. So let's say you wanted to spend $10 a day, $300 a month or so. You can spread that across the audiences evenly. Let's say your new customers and then your existing customers. And then the ads that drive the lowest, say, cost per click, you're trying to get them to your website, will be shown. So it's not necessarily more expensive. It's just on all in how you structure the campaign. But if you're running multiple campaigns, yeah, it's definitely going to get more expensive, not necessarily more audiences, if that makes sense.
So if I'm running a campaign and I say, well, look, I Facebook is everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it better for me to run, like if I'm a business to run, if I want to reach businesses, run a campaign on LinkedIn? Or let's say if we're genderflecting, shouldn't I want to get more girls, so I go on Instagram, right? Or how does that exactly work for somebody? Because a lot of people, they don't have this is their $500 is their whole advertising budget for their month. If they're lucky, a lot of times right now small businesses especially are having a rough time of it. How do we say how much can I afford, right? Mm-hmm. And where we're going to put this, because we may only get one chance at this, right? This is the 8 mile.
Yeah. Thing. So I mean, $500 in 1 month inside Facebook will actually get you more than you might think. I mean, we've been seeing probably an average of an 8 to 10x ROI on people who are spending anywhere from $300 a month all the way up to $4,000 a month. And that's pretty consistent, that 10x range. So if you put $5,000 into Facebook and you structure the campaigns at least the way that we do, chances are you're probably going to see that $5,000 in revenue come out on that. So it's a good place to start and then be able to maybe pull more from that revenue in the next month and raise it a little bit and just continue to build up on that ad spend as you see the results increase and increase and increase. And we tell people when they first start working with us, if you don't feel comfortable jumping in at 1,000, 1,500, whatever, start at that 400 to 500 range a month, and we'll only run one campaign, but then you'll be able to see the returns, and then it'll pay for itself because you can just keep compounding it the next month and the next month.
So you're pretty sure. So somebody could come to you and they don't have to have like selling the children quite yet. They could send me $500 and then you guys would manage the campaign. And because I've gone into offices where I've had a client with me and they said, well, we bought a bunch of likes from India. That's what they really did on Facebook, you know, 3,000 likes. And I'm like, so you guys give this guy like $3,000 and they bought a dollar a like, and you, yeah. So what is the scale of what – there's got to be a level of diminishing returns. There's got to be like a bottom point where it's just not worth doing it. Is there a bottom point for Facebook, or is there just
– We have yet to find it. I mean, like I said, we have people that spend anywhere from $300 a month up to $5,000. We've had people do like a one-month campaign where they put $6,000 into it, and the returns have – continually been exponential, and we have yet to hit that point with any of our clients where we see more money actually diminishing the return. So I hope one day we figure out where that cap exactly is, and that would mean that our clients are spending more and more and more and more and more and making more and more money. But we, like I said, we have yet to find it. So it's over $6,000 for sure.
Well, I think it also depends on the product.
It depends on the product. Geography. So let's say, like in Utah, we have a seasonal thing, right? There's a lot of seasonal products, right? For example, well, pumpkin spice is year-round now. I don't know why. But anyway, we have a seasonal thing. And then so let's say I've got my snow shovel ready, right? And I know it's going to snow in November. It used to snow by October 9th. It was guaranteed. October 9th, you'd be pretty miserable in some parts of Utah. What kind of a lead time do I need? And how long am I going to have? How should I invest in my campaign? Should it be more during, you understand what I'm saying? So do I start advertising 90 days out? How do I get top of mind? How do I let them connect? Or a pest control company or something like that, where there's definitely better seasons than others, or a car wash company, you know?
So, yeah.
What kind of thing would you suggest for something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if we've dealt with any really seasonal, you know, where, I mean, I'd have some ideas, but I'm trying to think if we've had any like real life examples. I mean, as far as for a seasonality standpoint, I think it's changing up the verbiage, you know, the ad copy would be a great idea, because naturally it's like if a swimming pool is opening up, you know, even running ads right now, we're in Iowa for April. I mean, no swimming pool is going to open up for at least a month, probably a month and a half, but you could run like a pre-pass deal right now where, you know, if you book your shoveling service, your pest service, your summer pool pass, now you save 20% versus when you wait till the actual season of pest control happens, you're going to pay full price or whatever the deal or the offer might be. You know, obviously we see that happen a lot of time where it's like pre-release deals on whether it's movies or music or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think it's definitely knowing your buying cycle and when your customer is most likely to buy, and then reverse engineering that and looking at the timeline.
Do you guys set up people from zero? Like they just want to have a business, and then what help them pick their business? Or do they already have to have a set business in place? So, because what I say is pick your customers that you want, and mm-hmm. then we'll get you a business that you like, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, we primarily work with established retailers. I'm trying to think again, if we've ever worked with brand new, I don't think we have. And the reason being is just because, you know, I think as like a business as us, you got to know your bread and butter. You got to know what you're good at. And if the opportunity arose that a new business wanted to work with us, I wouldn't just turn them down. But, you know, our fees are definitely, I think they're like average in the industry. They're not really cheap, but they're not like super expensive either.
Is it like 12% or something, whatever the ad buy is, then you take a percentage off that as a manager?
We just charge a flat fee. just a flat fee of $1,000 a month. So if you're doing $6,000 a month in ad spend, we're still only going to take $1,000. If you're doing $300 a month in ad spend, we'll take $1,000. We just charge a flat fee.
Okay, so let's just say if we're going to we have some devil shoes for some reason, right? Mm-hmm. We have mm-hmm. those shoes. We have an Adidas store or something like that, shoe store. Mm-hmm. We know that shoes mm-hmm. are going to release on this day. We can't guarantee anybody their allotment so much, right?
Yeah.
How do we set up for a retail situation? How are we going to or even putting our product in the retail situation? Could you guys assist with that? You see what I'm saying? Like, you deal with a lot of retail stores. So how do we, for the most people, they don't own a store, but they'd like to market to that retail store.
Yeah. Something that we've actually done in the past is similar to that. Somebody had a bunch of stuff sitting in a warehouse that they wanted sold. And so what we went ahead and did is we had them send us pictures of all the products. We set them up with a site on a platform called Shopify, which is essentially just an e-com platform. And then we actually marketed. Shopify connects very well with Facebook. So we were able to run Facebook ads from their inventory and start selling their products. And they didn't really have a brick and mortar location or anything like that. They just had a warehouse full of crap that they wanted gone, and we helped them sell some of it. So that's another opportunity too, to just go full e-com. But for our actual clients, we tend to push more of the in-store stuff because we can connect with the point of sale and actually track those offline conversions as well. We see it be more of a revenue driver than the e-com still.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're in a different environment. We will be in a transitional environment soon. What normal now is like what we're doing right now. We're staying at home, or we're, you know, we may go to the office and wear our masks or not. Right. You never know. Like I personally had COVID, you know, so I don't worry about it as much. I still go out. When I go outside, I have to have masks, but obviously in stores and other things, for safety in different parts of the country, you're going to have situations where people are going to be wearing masks, where they have to not space in together so much. How do you set up? How are we going to market to these people? You know, where it goes back to being normal. How do we get them ready to be normal again? Is there something that you guys are doing, or is there anything that you're preparing for?
I think we're just seeing our customers just doing very well right now. Because we have customers in probably, 10 states minimum, maybe 15. And they all range from pretty closed states to pretty open states, as far as even with mask mandates and things like that. And I think everybody's doing fairly well right now, just because people are just ready to start shopping again. Like with our clients, retail wise, they're just tired of being at home shopping online. They want to get out, be about, but I don't think we're doing necessarily anything really different for that transitional time, or like them actually being open.
So stores are doing relatively well right now. And mm-hmm. was there any kind of bump? Did you notice any kind of bump, like when they got a stimulus checks or anything?
Yeah, I think the month of March was really good for all of our customers. I think it also too, in the shoe space, it's just March, April, May. I mean, really from March till like very beginning of winter, and even winter, depending on the type of shoe, is going to be really good because it's changing seasonality wise, as far as like new spring product is coming into a lot of our customers' stores, new releases. So it's been really, really good from that standpoint. Yeah.
You guys just operate basically in the paid advertising space, right? So you don't, you don't do blogs so much, but I did notice that you do create graphics for clients and things like mm-hmm. that. Is that part of the campaign that you incorporate? So if somebody comes to you, they say, I'd like to set up a campaign, and then you say, okay, but we're 100% in charge, or how does that work? Do they get any input, or? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. So what we have our clients do is we have them send us pictures of, in our case, most of the time it's shoes that they want to push for a certain campaign. And then we take them and we make all the designs in house. And then we submit them back to our client. They give us the yes, the no, what they want to change, what they want to keep, all that stuff. They get the final sign off on it. If everything's good, then we'll actually create the ad inside of Facebook with the verbiage and all that good stuff. It'll go back to the client again. They'll say yes, no, change this, keep that. Once they give us the final okay, the ad's launched and they're live. So we kind of let them decide throughout the whole process, and they have full authority to say what they like and what they don't. But for the most part, we like to keep our design work very simple. So I feel like most people are okay with the designs that we push in our ads.
Okay. Speaking of, it can be kind of touchy to, you never know what kind of person could be offended on Twitter or Facebook or anything. How do we, I mean, they could be offended by the color red on a black background, you know, or something, and they start doing a complaint. If I'm a small business, I'm always concerned about something going viral that wasn't my fault or anything. Do you guys, how do you handle that? Do you have a guarantee? Is there something, you know what I'm asking? Like,
yeah,
it's crazy people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think if we ever had any examples of that. I don't think we really have. I don't think in my 4 years since starting the company, I don't think we ever had a design where the customer of our customer is seeing it and offended or doesn't, you know. I'm sure there's been people who don't like the design, you know, visually, but like they're not offended by anything per se. I'm trying to think. No, I don't think
we tend to keep the designs in the background of all the ads the same color as the shoe or the product that's being featured. So they're very simple. If you have a red and black shoe, then the background of the ad and the design work is going to be red and black. It's going to match the shoe, and then it's going to have our client's logo on it, and then the name of the product below it. So they're very simple. It honestly, it'd be really hard to, they would have to be offended at the product itself to then be offended at our design. So we haven't had any problems with that ever.
Okay. So when you put it out, you basically are specialists in Facebook and Insta mostly. Was that like 90% of what you guys do? And then you do like an email campaign?
Yeah. Yeah. Mainly, I would say 90% of our clients have the email, or excuse me, the Facebook and Instagram. And then probably like 70% or so have the text. And then probably 50% have the email. The text is going really well, but Facebook and Instagram for sure is our bread and butter.
There are agencies out right now that you can hire them. They'll do the social media. They'll handle the texting. They'll handle the phone calls. They'll handle the sales, and they just add water. How do you guys do any of that or not so much?
I think because they're consumer driven businesses and in person driven businesses, we don't really handle any of the sales aspects. Okay. If it was more of that B2B, maybe. That not a half bad idea, but I think that because they're consumer driven businesses and in person across the country, yeah, just mainly the marketing side.
Okay. There are people that are graduating college that didn't have a normal college experience, or people that just are graduating out of high school that for the last year. I don't know if you guys are hiring or not, but what kinds of things do they should a young person like yourselves, right? So what kind of person, what should they be doing to, what kinds of things could they be doing to get ready to go into the SEO type field, right?
I mean, I think definitely from just what we call a digital strategist standpoint, we have somebody that is going to be a college grad in May. She's been part-time working about 12 hours a week, 3-4 hour days right now, just while she's going to school. But then she's getting pretty proficient in Facebook's ads manager. So I think for anybody who's listening to this that is going to be a college grad, high school, I mean, personally, I don't have any formalized college education with any of this, but I understand it really well from like a business application standpoint. And then I just use the advertising platforms to get a business result, you know. But I think if any college individual can learn LinkedIn campaign manager or Facebook's ads manager, or I don't even really even know the other, what the other platforms are called, but learn those platforms. You know, if you mastered, I think definitely to take one step back, I think picking what type of business would you want to work with, and then learning what advertising platforms they would be interested in. Like for us, it's a lot of retail. So Facebook and Instagram are that market for sure, because it's a visual product first and foremost. It's not a service. I think service-based businesses probably don't even really need to learn Facebook or Instagram. You probably need to learn more the Google side, because their people are going to be searching for that. So I think learning the platforms, learning like what is the actual problem that you're going to solve, not just, oh yeah, we're going to get you more clicks and impressions and we're going to create fancy graphics. It's like, well, what's like the business result you're actually trying to help the client to get? And then if you can portray that to them through how you advertise, I think that would go a long way too.
You mentioned you mentioned that you may not know the others, but there's Pinterest. That's supposed to be like this monster rise that's happening right now. There's a lot of people that say, hey, I want them to pay with Bitcoin or something like that. Do you guys take Bitcoin? Would you take it? Or is that not something?
Hey, if somebody wants to give me one Bitcoin right now, if you're listening to this, I'll take it.
You'll take just one, right? Just one.
I'll take just one singular Bitcoin. Yeah,
I'll take one.
Okay.
I'll take $50,000.
But it goes up and down. But yeah. Anyway, so what about Pinterest? I mean, I've seen like people go there. They're 80% more likely. They are there to shop and they're there to look. Is that something in the future portfolio or not so much right now because you guys do shoes, right?
You know, if a customer of ours or a prospective client of ours were to tell us, hey, I'm really interested in this, and if you guys can do it for me, then I'll be a client. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll learn it and then we'll do it. We haven't had anybody ask us about it, and it's not something that we're going to push, but our philosophy is always, if a customer asks if we can do it, we say yes, and then we figure it out and we do it for them. So
are colors different on the internet? Like if I put blues or yellows, because when I went for communication school, they had all these colors, like yellow and black are really good. Other things, are there colors that people won't click on? Are there any things that I should look for when, you know?
I mean, I think the products that our customers sell is going to be the highlight of the graphic. So it just depends as far as like, I guess a graphic is mainly going to be product driven versus color driven. The background, depending on if we put a background on it, if it needs it, like if it's just a, what a lot of our customers call like a lifestyle image where it's just somebody like running, say, or using the product, we'll just include that. But yeah, I've never really had like an incredible amount of experience with like this color just doesn't work because we're just so product driven. But no, I haven't really had any colors that haven't really worked. I think as long as it's visually, what was that?
I'm looking at your buddy next to you. He was going to say something and then.
Ooh, Luke's always got something to say.
I was literally just going to say the exact same thing he did, that it depends on the product, whether the ad performs better or not, not necessarily the color scheme of the ad itself.
Yeah. Okay. Let's give a regular type of thing. This happens a few times a month for us. So there's a photography guy, right? He wants to sell whatever events, and events is hard. That's just hard right now, right? There's usually like a photography guy or somebody who wants to set up a website, do all that. Are we setting up on Shopify right now? Are you set? What would you lean into for that type of general type of person, right?
Are you talking about somebody who wants to sell their photography or
yeah,
somebody who wants to sell like the services?
Yeah, and then there's products with it because when you do a wedding, then they can buy photos. And are you married yet?
I'm not, no.
I'm not either.
You're going to find out. When she puts that ring on, it says, one to bind him, one to control him, one to fulfill him, one to go shopping for me.
I don't doubt that.
And then your ring will glow and your phone will go off like you're thinking you're going to go do something. But is there something that you think would be for service, because you guys do products. I know that you do products. But if you're doing a service or a product, if you're doing a product, then like that, that's a service mix. It's half the product. What would you say to that person who's got a service that turns into a product, or a videographer, or somebody who's got a soft talent, but then it turns into a hard product later that's memorable? What do you set them up with?
I guess we would, that one, since it's more business to consumer based, we would probably market it on Facebook and Instagram still, and just ask them like, oh, do you want to do more weddings? Do you want to do more XYZ, whatever their events they're trying to photograph or video, and then create audiences. And the call to action for all of the ads would just be to go to their website. And then on their website, they would have, you know, their list of services, products, all that good stuff, just really spreading the word in their area and just getting them seen by as many people as possible in their demographic that they're looking at.
Is it hard to target in your local area with SEO? I mean, if I put a keyword up, doesn't it just go everywhere? Don't I have to capture the, I have to be like on the first page nationally to get anywhere? Some people say I have to be in the first top eight after the advertising, of like if I'm a mortgage guy or whatever type of thing.
We don't do much really with the Google side. We primarily just focus with Facebook and Instagram, so I can't really speak to the SEO side. But I know on Facebook, it's pretty easy to target very hyper-local. So I could target a 1 mile radius around your house, for example, and just show people within 1 mile of your house that are 18 to 20 year old males the ad, and I could exclude everybody else. So you can get very in depth on Facebook. On the Google side, like I said, we don't really handle that much, so we don't really know much about that.
Okay, so is that also a trap too, that you because you're being so hyper focused, you might miss some people? Or have you ever, do you do a study about that? How do we determine the two usually we have two targets in a campaign. How are we going to determine that?
We can do a couple different things. One of those things is pull all of their customers from their point of sale system. And then inside Facebook, you can create what's called a lookalike audience. So it'll match people up that are similar in nature to their customer base and only advertise to those. And you can pick a 40-mile radius around your store, 50, whatever it may be. Let's say, you know, you're in a smaller town and there's a really large city 20 minutes away. Well, maybe you want to just focus in that city and target a certain demographic of people or whatever. We run different campaigns for really whatever the client's goals are for that year, that campaign, whatever they want to do. We do different things for every one of our clients based on what they want to push and how they want to push it.
Okay, we're going to come up to a break here, and I just want to say Omni Digital, right?
And, yes, sir.
And what state are you guys in?
We are out of Iowa City, Iowa.
Iowa City, Iowa, where the corn is great and the
where the corn
better.
Is amazing.
I've been to the steak, and then the fair is out of this world. So.
Oh, the Iowa State Fair is one of the best in the country.
What is the most evil thing that they sell at the Iowa State Fair for food? What would you say?
Deep fat fried sticks of butter on a stick.
Stop it.
He's saying, stop it. Stop it. I have.
Stop them.
What?
They have deep fat fried Twinkies on a stick, deep fat fried sticks of butter on a stick. Yeah, they go crazy at the Iowa State Fair. Anything you can think of is probably fried and on a stick.
Okay, and the boss, what is the most evil thing that they sell at the fair? What's the most evil food that they have there that you can't resist?
I mean, those turkey legs are pretty evil.
The big-ass turkey legs
are
good.
How big are those turkey legs? Are they like, eh?
They're
about a foot long.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
They're a couple pounds of turkey legs.
You feel like a barbarian just biting into them.
Hey, this is Michael Tanner. I am with some great guys today, and we are talking at Dice Media Group about SEO and other things. If you need some marketing, if you need some time, if you'd like to get on with some of the guests, if you need to call them personally, there's going to be links at the bottom. Just make sure you hit subscribe and like, and we'll be right with you in just a few minutes. Hey, we're back here with Cody and Luke, and we're just We're just hanging in here the last of the afternoon. It is East Coast time there, but it is always 6 a.m. here. So we will finish and get going. Hey, guys, if I want to start a business, if I'm an entrepreneur, if I'm anything like that, what's the hardest market that I can possibly be in right now? If I'm looking in the next 2 years, what would you say is the hottest thing that I could be in that now is the time to strike?
The hottest thing you said?
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, any business that you're seeing a trend. I mean, I've thought about doing this. I don't because I just like to stay focused on what we're doing. But I would say any business where you see a trend happening and you can source the product, whether it's, I mean, the cliche examples like a China, a drop shipping, whatever, and set up a micro e-commerce website to move that product is hot because people are buying more and more goods. I think because of COVID, it made way more people comfortable buying things online. I think I saw a McKinsey study where I think where we're at right now with people buying online, I think sped up about 10 years because of COVID, like the percentage of people. So I think anything you can do online, find your passion, find what you like, go study that market. Don't just jump in and go buy $10,000 worth of product. Study it, know your market, know where you're going to advertise, know how to source the product, et cetera, et cetera. Set up your website, know your advertising. I think that would be hot for anything. A little broad, but definitely anything e-commerce.
So what about you, Luke? Do you have the same idea exactly what the boss said? Or
I would say that's if you're looking for something that's going to be fairly low startup cost in relation, you don't have to, you know, buy a storefront. You don't have to spend money on buying a building for your restaurant or rent or anything like that. So if you're just some person that thinks they want to start a business and they're not looking to go out and get a bunch of funding, then definitely the drop shipping or the e-com is a way to go, as long as you master your target audience and who you want to push products to and you market it correctly. Then I see that being pretty successful with low overhead. Otherwise, similar to the industry we're in, start an online service business. You know, that's the only overhead you have at that point is who you pay to help you out. You know, go master Facebook marketing, go master Google SEO, go master XYZ that businesses need that you see a problem with that you can go and do yourself, and you don't have to actually buy products for, and go make 100 sales calls a day and try and get your first client and run with it that way. That's how Omni Digital Group started. So, you know, really just like Cody said, find your passion and run with it, whether it's retail, whether it's service-based, but the online service and online retail are going to have much lower startup costs, and it'll be easier for just your average Joe to actually go in and start a business.
Okay. So I'm going to start a business. Do you for your business, you think it's highly valuable to go to college right now? Or can I skip college and just, I'm 18 years old and I want to do this now. Can I do that?
I mean, my personal views on college are, it totally depends on the industry. I mean, if I'm going to the hospital and getting a surgery, I definitely want that person to have a college degree. But if I'm going to go work with somebody that does digital advertising, I just want them to be knowledgeable with digital advertising. I don't necessarily care if they have a college degree. So I guess if you're looking to go start your own business and it's something that you're going to go in and work your ass off and not let it fail, then if college isn't for you, college isn't for you. But I still think there's definitely value in the college experience per se, but at least in the field we're in, I'm not going to use my college degree really. I'm going to use things that I've picked up, you know, on the job and just the stuff I've learned from working here and being able to market our clients' products. So
it's definitely a trade. Cody, did you, if as an entrepreneur, are there any things that you think that we could do policy-wise or anything that would help your business do better? Is there anything that we could, that should be happening now that you see as something that could make the environment better? Is there anything like that or some type of thing to talk to, you know?
Yeah. I think anybody that you just have to be a self learner. I think, you know, for myself, I really enjoy sales. I really enjoy, like, I started a marketing company because I didn't understand marketing. I understood sales and cold calling and closing deals and making a proposal and presenting value and all these different things. But I didn't know how to actually, like, what was inbound marketing, I guess, is the best way versus outbound. But I think if you want to start a business, I would highly recommend to get really good at sales because you're going to need to sell your service or product, but then just get really efficient and know how to add value in the product or service that you're marketing. You know,
what type of
but
sales?
I think it's,
oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good.
What kind of sales do you study? Did you study? Because I had to go through Zig Ziglar, Dale Carnegie, all these other things because, you know, I'm 1 year older than you. And I needed to do that. You know, what a lot of people don't see the 60-100 calls a day. Do you guys still do that? Do you have outbound sales?
Oh, yeah.
A department? How many people there's like a few guys here that are doing the business, but for every person there is, how many salespeople should you need to support your business? Like if you have one guy like Cody, is it going to need 5 salespeople, 3 salespeople? What are some of the things that we should be looking at?
You're looking at our only 2 sales individuals right here.
Yeah.
And you're just knocking it out of the park. So how many hours a day do you go and sell there, buddy? Well, how many hours do you think?
Probably average about 30 calls a day each outbound.
So 60 calls a day. Because I used to do that by myself. I'd do 60 calls a day and then I was spent. And there was no creativity at the end of the day. And people may not see that. They say, well, I can start a business. I can do this. I can, up until the third day. Then they realize, hey, this is real work. Is there a freedom?
Yeah.
Is there a freedom that you are encountering by having your own business all by yourself versus being in a large corporate environment where they pay for your lunch and stuff? Is there a trade that you make that comes along?
I think it's definitely an investment, you know, at the start, because you're just trying to get the train moving. You know, we have a lot of momentum right now within our clients and what we're doing. And we've really, I don't want to say mastered, but we've gotten really close to mastering like the process of onboarding a client, making sure that the client gets a result, that type of thing. But I think from a sales perspective, you just have to get to a point where, you know, you're making enough calls per day. But you're servicing the clients that you already have, so you don't lose them.
Okay.
And you are, I think there's definitely not a great perfect ratio for how many salespeople you need inside of a business. I think you definitely have to have at least one. And if that's yourself and or somebody else, you have to have at least one, because you have to have that daily activity to just keep your business moving.
Do you guys have a meeting with each other and call each other names, or no? Does that never happen? I've had partners before and I wanted to deck them in the face. Like I got ready to go, you know, what are some of the things that we're looking at a partner or even a close employee, right? You understand what I'm saying? What are some of those properties that we're looking for?
Yeah. I mean, Cody and I share similar values just in life outside of business, but also, you know, when I started working for Cody about a year ago, and now we're business partners in a different venture as well. And I just work for the digital advertising side, but he really was able to just show me his vision and I was able to jump on board and see it and just say, I see where we're going and I want to ride this wave with you type of thing. And we haven't had any issues to date yet that have been conflicts where we have different opinions, because he made sure before he really put his trust in me and gave me more responsibility and equity and whatever, that I shared the vision. So that's probably the biggest thing, is if you're going to go into a partnership with somebody, make sure you share the same vision of where you want the business to go. Because if you don't, and then 3 years down the road, you don't see it. Like we talk every day constantly about where we're going to be in 10 years, where we're going to be in 5 years. And we're on the same page all the time on that. And if you're not, then that's where you're going to run into issues. So just consistently aligning the vision of the company together and just running with it every single day and doing what you got to do to make sure every day you're one step further along than you were the day before.
You guys pull those long 4-hour days, right? Is that how a business works? What's the average?
I wish.
What was the average? Like, so people understand for the faint of heart, what's the average hours that a partnership or people have to pull to make it work?
Well, I'm still a college student, sadly, so I don't pull as many hours as I probably would if I was not in school. But Cody over here is in the office from about 8 a.m. till 6, 7 p.m. almost every day, and he's grinding. I'm in probably 7:30 to now-ish, 4:30. Okay. So it's long hours for sure when you're running your own business.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys for joining with me. I am Michael Tanner with Dice Media Group. I have Cody. Cody, what's your last name? Say, Cody?
Fitzgeralds.
Cody.
Fitzgeralds.
Cody Fitzgerald. Luke, tell us.
Luke Barda.
And what do you guys do?
We are Omni Digital Group.
Together, ready?
And a one, and a two, and a three.
Omni Digital Group.
Okay, and thank you so much. And next time we'll get a better camera shot because I got half of them in. Two-Face, right? Or something like that Star Trek show where they had the line in the middle. Okay, and who's, and Cody, who's the smartest person in the room?
Smartest person in the room? Well, definitely isn't me. I can say that much for
depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking advertising, this man.
Oh man. I don't know. I don't even know that.
Anyway, I thank you for joining me.